Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest this week grew up in Detroit, and while in high school, his father went to prison and his younger brother was killed. He then became a drug dealer and ultimately a gang leader. A Damascus Road encounter with God transformed his life, and he earned a BA in General Bible Studies from Destiny University. From 2013 to 2018, he was the lead pastor at Woodside Bible Church's Pontiac Dream Center. And since 2019, he's been the lead pastor of the 180 Church. His name? Pastor Lorenzo Sewell. And I'm Jack Krizula, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR. I'm Jack Krizula. This is Anything Is Possible, and we're with Pastor Lorenzo Sewell, the lead pastor of the 180 Church in the hood. Welcome, Lorenzo. Great to have you back.
Jack, I am Holy Ghost happy to be here. Thank you. And for all your listeners, I believe God is about to do something awesome.
All right. Speaking of which, what if you lead us in an opening prayer this evening?
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you as humbly as we know how. We come to you believing that we can cast all our cares upon you because you care so much for us. Father, we pray for every listener out there that has worry, that has anxiety, that they fear their future. They don't know what's next. We pray that you would give comfort in a storm. Would you speak peace to the winds and the waves? Would you cause their soul to be still? And may you be glorified in their lives. We trust you. We believe it. And we receive it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. All right. We're all under construction. Let's go back. What were you like as a very young boy the first 10 years of your life?
Well, Jack, that's a very good question. I saw one of my earliest memories was my biological father chasing my mother in domestic violence. I saw my stepfather, who was a truck driver, to Chicago. He drove your hometown. And he wasn't there all throughout the week. Then he would come home Friday. He would get inebriated, and he would fight my mother all weekend. I remember as a little boy thinking, when I get old enough, I'm going to do what I can to handle him. And I grew up, my biological dad taught us how to box. He taught at Kronk Gym, and as kids, I would box, and was pretty decent at it. I played basketball, and I would cry every time I lost. It didn't matter what it was in. If I lost in basketball, if I lost in boxing, I literally would cry. And my older brother, stepbrother, we have the same father, different mothers, they would have to console me. And that's how I grew up. I grew up in a context, Jack, where I was shot at when I was 11 years old, playing Atari video games. And I remember the first time I saw a house burnt down. I remember the first time I saw somebody get shot at. I remember the first time that gang leaders, they were encouraging me to go with them when they were going to shoot somebody.
All right. In high school, your dad goes to prison. Your younger brother gets killed. Talk about that experience.
My mother liked the Clampets, right? She moved us out. And like the Jeffersons, we're moving on up to the city of Fraser. And I was the only black kid in an all-white context, and my mother never told me, Jack. Can you believe that? Mother never told me. Dad went to prison for murder. I was supposed to play basketball at a prep school in Kentucky, and I'll never forget the call. My mother said, your dad is in prison for murder. You're not going to live with him. And it was crushing because I had built up my game, so to speak, to play in prep school in Kentucky. And I immediately stopped playing basketball, and I picked up a blunt. I picked up marijuana, and I started selling it. And the reason why I was selling it, Jack, because I wanted someone to tell me, good job, even if I was doing the wrong thing. And all throughout my high school years, that's what I did. And it was when I was 17 years old, my best friend came out of the house crying, saying, my grandmother said, we cannot be best friends anymore because you're black. So that was the first time I had an encounter as it pertains to people feeling negatively about black skin. I remember the riots in LA, but I just thought those were bad cops. I didn't know that people had a racist idea in terms of black skin, whether it's criminology, whether it's all black people can run fast and jump high, whether it's all black people are poor and they need a handout. I didn't understand that. And now I understood this, Jack, why my friends, I could play basketball with them all day, but at night when they needed to go home and eat, they would say, you have to stay out here. Now I understood when my girlfriends in school, they would say, we can be boyfriend and girlfriend in school, but you can never meet my dad. It was because of black skin, not knowing that God was setting me up for something great. And my brother ended up getting hit and killed in a bike car accident. And quite frankly, that was right after I gave my heart to Christ, and it pushed me to Jesus.
All right. As you stated, you're a drug user, a drug dealer, street pharmacist, in your words, and ultimately a gang leader. Talk about those days.
Yeah, you know, it was interesting because being in the city of Fraser, only thing you needed to do to make a couple thousand dollars a week was get money from my Caucasian colleagues, drive down Groesbeck or Gratiot, go back to the community where I was reared and raised, make an exchange. Literally, you know, you put your margin on top of it, your broker fee, so to speak, and get back up to Fraser. And I remember, Jack, during that time when I was dealing drugs and all of my friends that were selling for me, selling with me, I remember having everything on the outside but empty on the inside. You know, you get girls. You get cars, you get what you think is fame and fortune, you get power because people are afraid of you, and you're still empty, still empty.
We're talking to Pastor Lorenzo Sewell. If you want to learn more, www.180church.cc. When we come back, we're going to go back to April 18th, 1999. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything is Possible on 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything is Possible. I'm Jack Rasula with Pastor Lorenzo Sewell. Lorenzo, here's your words. A Damascus Road encounter with God, April 18th, 1999.
So I'm down in Daytona Beach, and I was just notified that my sister, my older sister, I have an older half-sister, that she was being beat by her boyfriend at the time. And my older brother and I, quite frankly, made a pact to murder this man. And I remember being a kid, being on spring break, you got the resort, you got young Miss Michigan in the room with you, you got anything you want at your fingertips. And I remember drinking myself to a point where the security guard came over to me and he said, you gotta go. So we go downstairs, and while we're on the elevator, I asked him this question. I said, if God is so good, why is he allowing my sister to be beat? Many people don't know this part of the story. And we get to the front of the resort, and he said, can I pray for you? And I was offended because I had money, and I showed him couple thousand dollars I had in my pocket. And he says, no, I'm not trying to offend you. I want to pray for you. And never asked me his name. Never told me what church he went to. He grabbed my hands and he prayed for me. And in that moment when he prayed for me, simple prayer in my heart, God, if you're real, come into my life. Simple prayer. A moment of sobriety, so to speak, a Damascus Road encounter. At that moment, I knew, Jack, in that second, that drug dealing was wrong. It was the first time in my life that I felt the conviction, as I know now, the conviction. I didn't understand it then. I felt the guilt and shame of my sin.
If there's a drug dealer listening tonight that says, that's not me. My life is too good.
Sure.
The money.
Sure.
The fame, the power. I ain't giving that up.
Sure.
What do you say?
It's interesting because no drug dealer wants to be a drug dealer. Nobody wants to watch over their back every day. No one wants to worry if their friends are stealing from them. No one wants to worry about if a girl's going to drug you. There's no drug dealer. There's no real drug dealer out there that really is in that type of life, that wants to live that type of life. Whether they know it or not, they can be free. For the Bible says, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. It's not that your life will ever be perfect, but you can be different through the Lord Jesus Christ.
All right, you go on to earn a BA in General Bible Studies from Destiny University, and then you get introduced to a mutual friend.
Sure.
Fabulous man, Pastor Doug Schmidt.
Amazing. Pastor Doug Schmidt has been to me one of the men that I could mark in my life that believed in me, that quite frankly asked me to teach him how to win a city called Pontiac. And I'll never forget the meeting. We were at Alibi Restaurant. It was Vince Messina, it was me, and Tom Gitter. We were at a pizza place. I'll never forget it because it was when LeBron James was in the finals. And it was in 2013, it was June. And my wife and I just came back from Traverse City praying. We had been living by faith for 4 years, believing God for what he had us to do. And he asked, would you teach me how to reach the community? And he empowered me. And he taught me how to believe in myself, how to believe in what God had called me to do. And we went into Pontiac, and fast forward, 5 years later, 30,000 meals a year, build houses from the ground up, medical, dental, computer labs, suit warehouses. God taught me how to be the pastor of the community before he ever gave us a building. And that was all because Pastor Doug Schmidt believed in me and believed, quite frankly, in the gospel of Jesus Christ, not going overseas only. Because at that time, Woodside was just reaching the nations, but they weren't reaching the pain next door. Right. And oftentimes what people do is they fly over pain to get to pain. They care about Thailand, but they forget about Telegraph. They're worried about Africa, but forget about Woodward. They're concerned about Gaza, but they're not thinking about Grand River. And Pastor Doug, his trajectory changed in terms of ministry. He reached out to us, and my life has never been the same since.
And the late, great Mike Feasey.
Mike Feasey.
Former president of WJR convinced a man, Manny Maroon.
Yes.
To give 90 acres, I think.
88 acres of land for $1. I'll never forget it. I mean, Mike, and I'll never forget the day I met him. Actually, I was with Andy Meisner a couple weeks ago, who Mike introduced me to Andy. And there was so much Mike taught me. One of the things that Mike Feasey taught me was the importance of mentorship for a young black man, the importance of changing young black men's atmosphere through housing. That was one of the reasons why we did the housing that we did in Pontiac, because of his mentoring. And I remember, Mike, I'll never forget sitting in Huntington, sitting in his office, and I'm asking him about raising money and how do I get into the lives of those who have deep pockets. And I remember him looking at me, and he said, Lorenzo, the people that I want to introduce you to, money's not an issue. He said, this is the thing. Everybody wants to be pastored. He taught me how to care for people in spite of their socioeconomic status. He taught me how to care for people regardless of their bank account or their influence. So Mike Feasey has been to me a mentor, a spiritual father, and I'm grateful for him and his family.
Lorenzo, this is our 999th show.
Stop it.
Of Anything Is Possible. Oh, and it's all because of the late, great Mike Feasey.
Wow.
I had never been on the radio, Lorenzo. Okay? He took an unbelievable chance on me. It's transformed my life. Mike Feasey. All right. January 2019, you become the lead pastor of the 180 Church. Tell us about the 180 Church.
Yes, I had the honor of receiving the mantle from then my prayer partner, Pastor Chris Brooks, who is now the senior pastor of Woodside Bible Church in Troy.
He replaced Pastor Doug Schmidt.
He did replace Pastor Doug Schmidt. And walking into a historic church that has been in our community now for over 55 years, it was one of the most amazing honors of my life. And it has gotten us to this point as a ministry in terms of our mission to do transportation, housing, education, and heal the medical, mental, and dental illnesses in our community. It has been a Holy Ghost good time seeing what God has done in our church on Stansberry and Schoolcraft, right in the hood.
And you also have done a lot of work in Pontiac as well.
Pontiac is the city that God taught me that he called me to urban ministry. Pontiac is the city that God called my wife and I to understand that Black people were in poverty, because me as a Black man, I've had access, some would say privilege, and I've been disconnected from my original roots that started on the east side of Detroit. And I quite frankly didn't know that Black people were in schools where they couldn't read, write, and do math. That Black people were living in housing complexes with bed bugs, rats, and roaches. Jack, I did not know that Black people were living in a scenario, in a situation where they were in the triangle of tragedy. And what I mean by that is, most Black women that live in Detroit, Pontiac, Flint, and Saginaw, they wake up every single morning thinking, do I pay rent? Do I put gas in a car? Or do I pay daycare? That's the triangle of tragedy. If you're a Black man, you're thinking, do I pay rent? Do I put gas in the car? Or do I pay this child support? So they're all linked together. And when I realized that in Pontiac, I was like, wow. So God has blessed us to do much in Pontiac for his glory alone, and also Flint. And we're also in Saginaw now.
We're talking to Pastor Lorenzo Sewell. If you want to learn more, www.180church.cc. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR. This is Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Rasula, with Pastor Lorenzo Sewell, a shining example that with God, anything is possible.
Amen.
Okay, Lorenzo, what was your picture, your image of former President Donald J. Trump prior to June 10th, 2024?
You know, I didn't know what to think about President Donald Trump as a politician. I thought of him more as a real estate mogul. I thought about, as a kid, we would use the term, you've been Trumped, or Trump that, right? And it was an adage that pointed to him. I remember looking at him as a mogul and icon, to be frank with you. Now, if you say politically, I would say I had a confused view of him regarding his leadership. I didn't really understand why he did some of the things that he did, specifically January 6th. I think that was probably the main thing where I felt like he could have caused the nation to stand down. And that's just my honest opinion of it, right? Looking from the bleachers, so to speak.
Okay. Monday, June 10th, 2024, you get a phone call.
Jack, I get a phone call where I thought it was someone's playing the practical jokes on me. And it was the Trump campaign. And they said they wanted to come to my church. And the voice on the phone sounded like maybe the kid was 22, 23 years old. So the first thing I'm thinking in the back of my mind is, number one, this kid doesn't have the juice to pull this off. But if he does, let's see.
All right. And then on that Saturday, June 15th, Pam and I show up in the afternoon, long lines. Snipers on every building within two blocks.
Sure.
Okay? Tremendous security. We go into the 180 church. Please.
You know, Jack, when I got the phone call and when the young man told me he was serious, they sent me over the agreement. I didn't even read it. I just signed it and sent it back. I just wanted to see if this was real. They come, they look at the place, they send out the press release. I'm still thinking, there's no way. Saturday, not until I physically saw him, that I believe he was coming. I thought they would have made some type of excuse, anything. I didn't even know until the day before, which was that Friday, which was his birthday, the 14th of June. I didn't know that I was even going to be a part of the roundtable. We get on in our church, we get a part of this roundtable, and the first thing I noticed about former president Donald J. Trump, which could be the next president of the United States of America, I noticed that he was not socially awkward around black people. That was the first thing I noticed. I noticed, as being an older white man, that it wasn't like he was weird. It wasn't like he was trying to be somebody he wasn't. That was the first thing. The second thing was he really wanted to know what my concerns were. The third thing is he asked for prayer, which was huge. And the fourth thing was they broke every Secret Service protocol when people were throwing things at him. You got something signed. It was awesome. It was amazing.
All right. Let's jump ahead. July 18th, 2024. The last night of the Republican National Convention. He's going to speak that night. Some of the speakers: Diane Hendricks,
yeah.
Mike Pompeo, former Secretary of State. And after he got done, then this Pastor Lorenzo Sowell came and spoke afterwards. Then Alina Haba, his attorney, Tucker Carlson, Hulk Hogan, Kid Rock, Eric Trump, Dana White, Franklin Graham. What was that night like?
You know, Jack, I've had the honor of preaching since I was 19 years old. And I knew after President Donald Trump got shot that God wanted me to change my speech. I knew it. But how do you change a speech that's loaded into a teleprompter? It goes through legal. How do you change it? This is how I knew God wanted me to change it. I asked the speechwriters how much time that I had. The Bible says that Gideon went before God. He said, God, if it's you, let the rain fall on the fleece. Lord, if it's you, let the rain fall around the fleece. I said, God, if it's you, give me more time. The guy looks at the time and he says, no, they gave you 8 minutes. I said, 8 minutes? What? So I stand up there. Can you imagine it? You've met Diane Hendricks. You bumped into the gentleman who wrote the song, Lee
Greenwood.
You talk to Lee Greenwood. You shake hands with the attorney. Mike Pompeo. I spent most of the time talking to Mike Pompeo. He was awesome. Just spending time with him, getting to know him. I was asking him about government, what he thought should be changed about it. It just was amazing. And now you stand up in front of every seat's filled. I mean, it's amazing. Jack, I froze. It was the first time in my career and in my calling that nothing came. Like, I was froze. And then the next thing you know, the Holy Spirit, he opened my mouth and he filled it. And he gave this nation a message about Christ and Christ alone.
What was the basic message in those 8 minutes?
The basic message was God can do anything. Anything's possible. That he can save you by a millimeter, that Jesus Christ is the only one that can save America, that there's something special about President Donald J. Trump, that he was a man who literally was the 45th president. He was convicted of 34 counts. He raised $53 million in 24 hours, could be the 47th president, and was shot once. There are no other men that I know of that have that type of spiritual stature in terms of God's providence and prevention. And that's what the message was about. And the message was to a lot of my Democratic friends who think about Trump and they look at the man, not the mission. They look at the container, not the content. And Jesus was glorified. I walked off the stage. I didn't know if the police would be waiting for me to handcuff me, you know, because I just literally did not say one word of the approved speech.
All right. Lee Greenwood,
He was awesome. I mean, you know, you walk up to someone and I'm just introducing myself to people. I don't know who's who. And I said, sir, what's your name? He says, oh, my name is Lee. I said, okay. I said, so what do you do? He's like, well, I wrote a song. And, you know, it's just you know, and then you pry a little more and you're like, whoa, like, this is one of the best songs of all time. And essentially what his wife said was, God took the pen that day and wrote that song. That was the way she explained it.
Mike Pompeo.
He was wonderful. I really, that's the type of guy I can hang out.
He was number one of his class at West Point, and then he goes to get a law degree, either at Harvard or Yale, and he's number one in his law class. Unbelievable.
He was the most down-to-earth, you know, because he lost a lot of weight. Yeah. So I didn't know who he was. You know, we're just in the same room together. And I just asked him about who he was, and obviously he told me, and I was like, wow. You know, I was like, well, let me ask you a question about government. I asked him, what would you change? I asked him, what would you cut? I asked him about bureaucracy. And he was very candid with me in terms of being a small business owner. And the way he explained it, which I thought was very articulate, and I thought it was extremely concise. He said, as a business owner, you need metrics. He said, it's hard in government to give the bureaucracy metrics in terms of their performance. He talked about incentivizing. He talked about, as a small business owner, you need incentives. And he said, in government, there really aren't any incentives for people to get paychecks. They get, you know, they get hired in and there it is, right? He talked about a meritocracy, how it's important for us to have a merit-based system. So he was the one I spent the most time with, and I really enjoyed it.
All right. You also spent time with a lady, Diane Hendricks, grew up in Wisconsin, the daughter of dairy farmers. She had her first child at age 17.
Wow.
Talk about her.
She was the one I prayed to meet. I wanted to meet her out of everybody. So when we were all in the green room, you got your mind on what you're about to say. You're meeting people. You're nervous. And I really didn't know it was her until I just walked up to her in the room right before the speaker speaks. So there's two different rooms you go through for security. And she was fantastic. The way she was so unassuming, she was so excited that I even knew who she was. And you could tell she just was genuine. She wasn't pompous or arrogant. She had people around her, but she allowed me to sit there and speak with her the entire time. It was really cool.
We're talking to Pastor Lorenzo Soel. When we come back, we're going to ask him, when he put his head on that pillow in Milwaukee that Thursday night, July 18th, going from a street pharmacist to this RNC convention speaker, what did he think about? And I'm Jack Rasul, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR.
You've been listening to your inspirational fireside chat, Anything Is Possible, for nearly 20 years.
This is Anything Is Possible, and I'm Jack Crisullo.
But what has Jack been up to lately? Search at AIP Speaker Series and find out. Jack has interviewed thousands of historical voices, some of whom have offered him their philosophy of life, like Tom Izzo.
And Tom writes, work hard, persistence always wins out, discipline is the highest form of love. Stay humble.
The great Ernie Harwell.
My aim is to do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with God.
And the voices of our generation.
I am reassured continuously that His unfathomable love and mercy are the greatest gifts of my life and my constant source of strength, reassurance, and guidance. His Holiness, Pope Francis.
At AIP Speakers Series is the YouTube channel where all of these jewels can be heard, including some of Anything Is Possible's greatest guests.
And we're with Mitch Albom.
The Little Liar is really a book about truth and lies and the price we pay when we lie.
This is Anything Is Possible, and with Tom Watson.
My father loved to play with the pros at the club. Developed a very quick friendship with Stan and played some golf with him. And then he would ask me to play golf with him and Stan.
Our guest this week was born with a rare disorder characterized by the absence of arms and legs. His name, Nick Vujicic.
Something that every human being actually deals with, Jack. It's the choice of continuing to believe or giving up.
And recordings of the AIP Speaker Series events at St. John's Resort. Go to YouTube and search at AIP Speaker Series. It's free. And remember,
anything is possible.
Spohom. I'm Jack Rasula. This is Anything Is Possible. We're talking to Pastor Lorenzo Sewell. That Thursday night of the RNC convention, unbelievable, when you put your head on that pillow in Milwaukee that night. From a street pharmacist to now this, what were your thoughts?
My first thought was I was in trouble because I knew I had not followed one part of my speech. So I thought I was worried.
I was worried the first time.
Okay. That's my life, right? So by the time I get with my family and sit with my family, I am literally getting messages from all over the world. My wife's getting messages from all over the world. And who am I, right, Jack? Who am I? That God would allow somebody like me, right? Just from the east side of Detroit. A kid mentored by murderers, right? Student of the streets. That he would allow me to be used for his glory on a stage such as that. When I laid down, I didn't go to sleep till about 3, you know, because all the messages, the text, the email, you know, and it doesn't stop, you know, and it's still going. I give God praise for that. And I felt like he wanted me to respond to everything. By the time I put my head on the pillow, I just thought, God, you called me for such a time as this.
As tears run down his cheeks, he's a shining example of letting go and letting God.
Yeah.
All right, Lorenzo, you broke your mom's heart for years.
Yeah.
And now she sees her son and what he's become. What's that like?
It reminds me of every mother out there that wants to give up on their son. It reminds me of every son out there that feels like, I can't believe I've done this to my mom. It encourages me to encourage others that anything is possible. I remember my mother, Jack, praying for me when I would come in the house high and drunk. And she would put some oil on my head and just pray over me. She didn't know what to do. She just would pray over me.
Today, you're a surrogate father for many Pontiac kids.
Sure.
Who have no father in their life.
I would tell every young person that looks like me, Detroit, Pontiac, Flint, and Saginaw, I would tell them that if God could do it for me, he could do it for you. If he could take a kid who, by every stretch of the imagination, all the data, all the statistics would say, I should be dead or in jail. That if the Lord Jesus Christ can take someone like me, change my life and give me a purpose and a destiny, give me access to arguably the most powerful man in the world, I would tell them, keep on praying. God has something for you. Don't give up. God has something for you.
If there's a man listening tonight that has a son or daughter, no relationship, what do you say to that quote unquote dad?
I would say to that dad, your children need you. Forget about your past. Think about their future. Take it one step at a time. Don't try to make up for the past. Don't try to make up for the time. Know that God is always right on time. And take the next step. Maybe it's a phone call, an email, a text message. Maybe it's a visit at a birthday party. Don't think about how you're going to solve all the problems. Just take the next step.
And your message to single moms tonight?
I would say to single mothers, you're more powerful than you know. I would say to every single mother out there, your prayers work. I would say to every single mother out there, your children are watching you. And if you would just take a step toward Christ, you can avoid the crises that the devil has planned for you.
An old running buddy reaches out to you. Lorenzo, have I got a once-in-a-lifetime deal for you. It'll set up your church forever financially. It's the easiest money you'll ever make in your life. Will you do it?
Good question. You know, Abram was given this opportunity with Melchizedek, which was the king of Salem, and he was actually a type and shadow of Christ. Later on, we see that in the book of Hebrews. And this is what Abraham said. His name was Abram at the time, before he made the covenant with God. He said these words. He said, I will not allow another man to make me rich. And Jack, anytime a person can get you there, they can remove you from that place. Not saying that people can't use you. God has used you in my life. I have a litany of people. We've talked about Pastor Doug. We've talked about Pastor Brooks. God has used a litany of people, Mike Feezy, in my life. But anytime someone thinks that they can take a payout, they will sell out to their destiny.
You've surrendered your life to Jesus.
Amen.
A listener says, I admire that. I can't.
For any listener out there that would say, there's no way I can surrender my life to Christ, this is what I would recommend. I would recommend you look at your life thus far. And I would recommend that you let go and let God. And what does that look like? For some of you, it looks like a prayer tonight. For some of you who are listening to this, it looks like you're saying, God, forgive me. For some of you, it's you forgiving others. Letting go and letting God looks different for all of us, but it all gets us to the same destination, and that's at the feet of Christ.
As our time winds down this evening, would you offer a closing prayer?
Father, I pray for those that are hurting, bruised, and broken. I pray for the one that says I'm an agnostic or an atheist. I pray for the one that perhaps is in the LGBTQ plus community and saying, God, I need to change, but I can't. Father, I pray for the ones that would say, I can't, the I can'ters. They don't have the ability to say, Lord, I trust you. My Father and our God, we pray that you would stir in their hearts your grace and your mercy. Would you reach out to them like you reached out to me, and would you show them that anything is possible through Jesus? And we give you the glory for it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
If you want to learn more, www.180church.cc. Lorenzo, you're a shining example of God doing his greatest work with the least likely. Keep it up.
Thank you, Jack.
Please join us next week. Until then, I'm Jack Rasula. Thanks for listening, and make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spoke. Believe in yourself.